Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to today's Trademark Clearinghouse session. This will be focused quite a bit on the operations of the Trademark Clearinghouse, which we are pleased to now have in place. Just a couple of observations about where we are in terms of the new GTLD program. It's been very exciting to see something that's been talked about and discussed for a long time in terms of how you implement something and how you make it work. Now becoming reality, we have TLDs passing evaluation and being delegated. And so in the same way, we've been working on the clearinghouse for quite a long time, discussing how it should work. I had the opportunity a couple of months ago, I think, to be passing through Brussels, where I happened to see one of the trademark verification teams from Deloitte working on verifying trademarks for the database. So it's very exciting to see that. We have a team of people here from Deloitte and IBM who I'm delighted to introduce. They've all worked very, 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 very hard to make this a reality. So they've got a lot of information to share with you. And I will turn it over to Jan Korstens from Deloitte to begin. Thanks.
Thank you, Karen. So on behalf of the Clearinghouse team, I also welcome you here today. I believe this is the fifth time that we are having this Clearinghouse session during an ICANN meeting, and we're equally very happy that we are where we are today. We have on the table a number of people which I quickly will allow to introduce themselves. So my name is Jan Korstens, Deloitte, and overall responsible for the Trademark Clearinghouse.
Don Fancher from Deloitte in the U.S.
Francis Wickham from IBM.
And Vicky Follens from Deloitte.
And Wim Fabry from IBM.
So I'll give the word now to Francis.
Let's see if we get it to the next slide.
Next. Apparently there's no clicker, so I'm...
Okay, thank you. Okay, so just this first slide, and because afterwards I will go more specifically on the services IBM is providing. But so just so it's clear, within the Trademark Clearinghouse, what the role is of Deloitte and IBM. Obviously, we work very hard together also. But so just so it's clear, for Deloitte, they're actually handling the interface with all the trademark holders and agents and doing the validations of the trademarks. After that process, IBM is taking the trademarks or receiving the trademarks with all the data, providing the database function, out of which we are providing the services to the registrars and to the registries. Next, please. Next. Okay. So the database is actually the central repository where you're storing all the data. So after it has been validated by Deloitte, and out of which we are providing the support to the registries and registrars to provide the services of the Sunrise and claim services. Next, please. So just on where we are today, as Jan mentioned, we have presented quite a few times just on the status, on how we would have to start, on where we were on a test environment, on where we were on providing part of the services. So I'm happy to confirm that today the full Trademark Clearinghouse is available with the validation, with the database function, with the Sunrise services, claim services. So all of that is available. So since the 9th of August, we were ready for the Sunrise services, meaning that registries were able to test that part of the services. Next slide. Since the 9th of September, we could also support all of the claim services, meaning that while registries were waiting for the contracts, that the testing could be done for these. Next slide. And since the 18th of October, we now have the functionality to also support the abused name labels. So meaning that the additional labels can be added, go through the validation, and will be stored in the database and available for the services out of the database from IBM. So We got still quite a few questions, and over the past few months we have given some webinars to explain how the services can be obtained from IBM, that is for all of the registries and the registrars. Since we still got quite a few questions over the last few weeks, and we would expect that in the next weeks and months, many of you registries and registrars will be looking how to get connected. So I have a few slides to make sure that part of all of that is clear on how to get connected to these services. So first of all, you will have to register with the trademark database, configure some connections. You will have to do some testing, after which you will get a certification that you have passed the tests, which will be confirmed by ICANN. And after that, you will be able to use the trademark database services. Next slide. So in order to register, you will have to obtain an email from ICANN with your registration token. Now, that can either be obtained when you sign your registry agreement for your new GTLD. If you want to start testing before that, you can actually also request that from us, and that can be provided for testing purposes. So once you have received the token, you can go on the website from the trademark database, register, and receive your user account and password, which will be a temporary password, which you can then change. Also for the registrars, so it will be possible to obtain already a token so you can start your testing as soon as you have signed your RRA. So after that, you would have to complete your profile pages. I'll come back on that. And also on the testing, I will provide some additional clarification as we got quite a few questions on that. Next slide, please. So on the profile page, which you can find on the web page once you have connected, you will need to provide some basic information like passwords to make use of the different services. And you will also have to provide between minimum 1 and maximum 5 IP addresses from where you will be making use of these services. Next slide. Now, testing. So again, before you can actually go into production, and so it's clear that it is important for respecting the date you plan to go live with your Sunrise, you will need a certification that you have passed the testing. The process for it is also described in the welcome package that you will receive from ICANN upon the moment that you sign your new registry agreement. And so the tests that have to be done will be explained in the next few slides. So for registries, there are a few tests to be done. First of all, you will have to download one of the SMD revocation lists. And again, after the explaining these testing requirements, I will also go again through the whole process of the different steps of the Sunrise and claim process, just to make sure it's clear for everyone. But so, just on the requirements for the testing, you will need to download an SMD revocation list. You will also have to upload a Sunrise Lordant file with a minimum of 3 domain names that have been validated using the testing SMDs. And, can I still go back? One more. Yeah, thank you. So we'll have to upload the Lordant file. And you will also need to download the log files related to that upload. You will also have to download DNL lists and upload a claims Lordant file, again with at least 3 domain names. Then for the registrars, you will also have to download the SMD revocation lists, and you will also have to download a claims notification information file to show that all connections are working. You will also have to validate, compare a screenshot of this with the notice that you will be sending out. And so on the tests, so in order, once you have done your tests, you can request the certificate by sending an email to IBM with the email mentioned that you have done all of the tests, after which the successful testing will be verified by IBM. So for the registrar, you will have to include your EAN ID and a screenshot of the trademark notice. For the registry, you will have to confirm for which GTLD you have done the testing. At this time, the testing requirements hold for each GTLD, so meaning that for each GTLD you manage, you will have to do the testing. We are looking into an alternative to provide waivers for that. So IBM will actually verify the requests. We'll see that tests have indeed been completed successfully. And once done, we will confirm that you can obtain the certificate from ICANN. Then, so once more maybe for some of you, but just to make sure that the Sunrise services and the process for it are clear to all, let's go through it once more. So after the process of trademark holders and agents who have submitted their information to the clearinghouse will be able to provide a signed mark data file, the SMD file, back to the trademark holders and agents, which can be used during the Sunrise period. The list of the signed mark data files will obviously also be submitted into the trademark database, which is a part being managed by IBM. Also based on this, we will be able to provide all of the registries, the SMD revocation list. Next slide, please. So, if a trademark holder or agent wants to register a domain name for which they have submitted the trademark into the database, they will use this SMD file to request to a registrar to obtain the domain name. Obviously, they would include the SMD file within this request, which would go to the registry, who can validate the SMD file. Next slide, please. The registry will then be able to validate if the SMD file is correct. If so, they will be able to register the domain name and include it in the registered domain names list, the LORDEN, and resubmit it back to the database, which will allow IBM to inform the clearinghouse of this, and after which a notification can go back to the trademark holder or agent, being the NORNT. Then for the claim services. So this is the period after the Sunrise and when the domain names become available for everyone in the market. So if there will be a registrant requesting a domain name, as before, the registrar would validate the availability of the domain name. Next slide, please. But now also, not only check the availability, but validate whether there's a match with a mark in the trademark database. The registry can validate this because he will be receiving the list of all the labels from the trademark database. So they will be able to download the DNL file and therefore confirm whether a requested domain name matches or not. Now, if there would be a match, and obviously on the previous, if there's no match, then actually they can just go ahead and register the domain name. If there would be a match, then the registry will be providing a lookup key to the registrar, who can use this lookup key to download the detailed claim information directly from the trademark database. So if there is a match, he will be receiving the claim notification information, which the registrar has to provide to the registrant in a claim notice, so that the registrant is aware that there will be a, or that there is currently a claim on the domain name that they requested. If they actually accept the claim notice, it can go back to the registrar. Obviously, again, the registrant could consider that he will not want to proceed as there is a claim on it. If he sees no issue, he can go back and accept the claim notice, after which the domain name can be registered. And in the same process as during the Sunrise, it will be part of the registered domain names and go back all the way to the trademark holder to be informed that his trademark has been used to register a domain name. I received a few questions about the limit of the 48 hours. So I just want to reconfirm what it actually means and what is now the start and end period for the 48 hours requirements. So actually it comes back to the CNIS file, meaning the claims notification information which is sent to the registrar is only valid for 48 hours. So what does it mean? Once we actually create a CNIS file, after which it can be downloaded by the registrar, they have up to maximum 48 hours after the CNIS file was created to get the domain name either registered either to create the application for the auction. So the registrar would have to submit the claim notice to the registrant, who would have to accept the claim notice, and the registrar would have to inform the registry within the 48 hours. Now, do know that the KNIS file can exist up to 12 hours. So we are reproducing the claim notification files every 12 hours. So it could be that when a registrar is downloading that file, that it can already be existing up to 12 hours maximum. That period has to be included in the total of 48 hours. So in worst case, let's say that just before a KNIS file is renewed and it almost exists for 12 hours, it would mean that there are only 36 hours remaining to get the domain name registered or to create the application for the auction. Now, also important is that the 48 hours, again, are only up to the application for the auction. So it doesn't mean that the auction actually has to be finalized within that same time frame. Also, in terms of fees, there is no fee for the registrars. There's only a fee for the registries, which is $5,000 at the time of signing the new GTLD agreement. And there's also a fee of $0.25 for each successful matching domain name registration. So it means that if a domain name is registered for which there's not a trademark in the database, there's no fee. There's also not a fee to do a check or lookup into the database and downloading a KNIS file, so there's no fee per query. And this fee is also one time. So it's not a yearly fee, it's a one-time fee due when there is a matching domain name and when the domain name is actually registered. Next slide, please. If there are questions, I also want to come back on what's available in order to support you. So through the link that you see on the page, you can obtain the different user manuals. There's also a frequently asked question page, and there are recordings of the webinars. So I have been conducting several webinars over the past few months where you can find detailed information separately for the registry as well as for the registrar, both, again, either on the Sunrise services or on the Clayton services, where you will also find really a step-by-step with the screenshots how to log in, how to change the password, how to include your IP addresses, etc., etc. So all of that information is available in the webinars, which you can find through this link. If you still have technical questions for which you cannot find an answer in those documents, you can contact IBM through the provided telephone numbers or by email, as you can also see on the page. Actually, maybe also add, so we have been conducting webinars. For the last few webinars we conducted, there were very few participants. So I think we are also interested to know if currently the information is easily and sufficiently available, or if there are other topics or ways that you would like to receive the information. If so, we would certainly be happy to hear that today or when you can visit us at the booth. Again, just a summary of the available information, where you can find the different functional specifications, the manuals, frequently asked questions, but also all information on the webinars, where you can download them, and if you plan new ones, where you can find also the information on which webinars have been planned. And that's the part for IBM, so then I leave it to Vicky from Deloitte.
Thanks, Francis. So we want to stand still for a couple of minutes on this slide because Deloitte has been operating the validation services since March, end of March this year. And our customer support has indeed received a lot of questions, but as the database is now up and running and registrars and registries want to get access, we do notice that a lot of questions are coming through our customer support tool. And unfortunately, we don't have all those questions to those technical questions. So that is why it's important to note if you're a trademark holder or trademark agent and you have questions in relation to the validations, the priority questions, eligibility requirements, all of that can be submitted to our clearinghouse, to the clearinghouse user interface and the customer support. If you are acting as a registrar or registry, please submit your questions to IBM's customer support. In most cases, there's not an issue, but we have trademark agents that are also registrars, and there's a thin line as to which questions need to go to Deloitte or IBM. We do try to answer them, or at least to assist as much as we can, but of course you have to know, technical-wise, that's not part of the services we're offering. What is important now? So the Trademark Clearinghouse, as I said, we've been operating since the end of March. We had quite some steps to take to get here. We did quite some adjustments to make the interface much user-friendly. We believe that we still can make it user-friendly. Nevertheless, we are at a steady point at this moment. So we can say that the Trademark Clearinghouse is running very well. What is important to note now, the early bird registration period is over. What does that mean? So we, as we opened up at the end of March, we had an early bird registration period where everybody could actually register their trademarks to the clearinghouse and be able to extend their period that they were actually registering with the clearinghouse. So they got months or that they were able to put in the Trademark Clearinghouse at no extra charge. As the first sunrise started on the 31st of October, we extended to the trademark holders and agents the early bird registration period until the 5th of November, so that everybody had a good chance to at least submit some of their marks before the actual cutoff dates. That being said, that means for us the early bird registration ended on the 5th of November. So all marks that were submitted before the 5th of November will now receive a validity period from the 5th of November till the 5 November 2016 or for 3 years or 2014 for 1 year, depending on how long they have recorded with the Trademark Clearinghouse. The SMD files is, of course, now a very hot topic because, as you know, in order to participate in a sunrise, you need to have an SMD file that comes from the Trademark Clearinghouse. What does that actually mean? So once we verify your trademark, an SMD file is generated through the validation interface. So you, as a trademark holder or trademark agent, can go to the tab Domains and Services, and you will actually be able to download the SMD file, which you can store and send it to the registrar of your choice if you're... And then they send it off to the registry. Without the SMD, that's important. You cannot register a domain name during sunrise. What is also very important for registries, that the SMD was built to contain the information that you needed to ensure that the domain name applicant qualified for your typical sunrise registration process. So the SMD file does contain the name of the trademark holder, the trademark, the labels attached to it, the registration date, the expiration date, and the jurisdiction, NIS classifications. That is all of that information is actually in the SMD file. So you as a registry have all the information that you need in order to make sure that it qualifies for your sunrise registration policy. And also important, the SMD file can be used to submit to the URS providers. It is a less administrative burdensome for you as wanting to use the services for the US providers, because at that moment you do not need to provide additional proof of use to the US provider, because the SMD file means that you already have provided qualified proof of use, so at that moment in time you don't have to provide it to the URS providers. As we said, the 5th of November, the early bird registration period ended. Sunrise date is there. That actually means that all the SMD files will be revoked in order to make sure that those dates now correspond with the dates that are recorded in the Trademark Clearinghouse. In addition, the registries have requested through the technical mailing list to have the SMDs without white spaces. Now, currently, the SMD has white spacing in there, but they would like to have that taken out. And also, the SMD file will now follow your recordal period of the trademark clearinghouse. So if a trademark is recorded with the clearinghouse for 1 year, your SMD file will be valid for 1 year. If it's recorded for 3 years, then your SMD file will also be valid for 3 years. So at that moment in time, if after re-verification, your record is still the same, you will be able to use your SMD file for a period of 3 years and go ahead and register throughout the different sunrises. As I said, all SMD files will be revoked at one time. Does that mean that your current SMD file is not valid? No, absolutely not. You can use your SMD file. You can go ahead and register a domain name during the sunrises that are launching. But as of a particular date, that SMD file will not be valid anymore, and you just need to go to the interface and download your new SMD file. We will be announcing the date and the project plan for that. We will be providing extra communication on that, but we just want to make you already aware that that is going to happen. Also, another change, some of you might be aware, some of you are very aware of the rule. In the past, trademarks with a dot were not accepted in the clearinghouse. We had noticed that that's provided quite a lot of confusion on trademark holders, because a lot of trademarks have actually a dot in there but do not contain an extension, and we had a no dot rule policy. This has been changed now. The clearinghouse guidelines will be published very shortly. They're currently under a template review. But in any case, the trademarks with a dot will now be accepted. However, they cannot include an existing TLD or any extension under review. And the dot needs to function as either a punctuation, an abbreviation, or a figurative part of the registered mark. So Mr. Dot IBM, for example, could be, if Mr. is the dot is used as the abbreviation for Mr., could be an example of a trademark that would be accepted on the clearinghouse. For those of you that have submitted a trademark with a dot to the clearinghouse, and that record has been marked invalid because it did not qualify under those rules, you don't need to worry. We will contact you. We will make sure that you get your trademark unverified, if that's indeed the only reason why, and if we will allow you another correction process if that would still be the case that it would be needed. So for those of you that have submitted, you will be receiving you will be in contact with us shortly to make sure that we can make that process quick and easy. Now, to come to the statistics, currently we have over 17,000 trademark records submitted to the clearinghouse. One out of the two register a trademark record in the clearinghouse for multiple years. 50% of them actually is for 3 years, and we have some for 5 years registrations. Currently, there are 99 jurisdictions already represented in the clearinghouse, whereas 93% of those actually qualify for the 15 top jurisdictions. So you see here from the slide, U.S. is indeed the biggest chunk of the trademarks, where the trademarks are coming from. You have also the European trademarks, French trademarks, the WIPO, the international trademarks, Germany, UK, Australia, Canada, Spain. So you see here, you also see that in top 15 is indeed China at this moment, but you will also, in the next slide, I think, you'll see that even though that trademark is, China is indeed in our top 15, a lot of trademark holders are submitting their English trademarks under Chinese jurisdiction instead of actually providing the Chinese script trademark. So you see here, from the 17,000, we have 550 non-Latin scripts. We give you a good overview of, so we have 40 Arabic, 58 Cyrillic, one from Devanagari, in Chinese 295, in Korean 35, Hebrew 14, and Japan, Japanese trademark, or Japanese script, sorry, 53. And then you also see that we have Thai and Hiragana. What is important to note is we clearly see that people have, not only are people not even, sometimes not even aware about the clearinghouse and the new GTLD program. So we are doing a lot of marketing outreach just to get the message out, but it's even harder to actually explain to everybody that it's also now possible to register your trademark in different scripts because of the new possibility that there are with the IDNs. So there is still a lot of education to do, and we are working very hard in providing that education to everybody. We do like to invite the registries to also help us out in bringing the message about the IDNs, because of course, if we can work together, we can maximize the participation to the trademark clearinghouse. As for the NIS classification, so you all know that trademarks in most countries have a NIS classification. We here wanted to give you a number of the trademarks, and you see the highest number of, or the most selected NIS classification is actually class 9, if you see here. So it's software and computer programs. We have, and here's a nice overview of all the different descriptions, of all the different classes that have been submitted to the clearinghouse. From the beginning, we had a lot of issues about everybody being new to the system, using the trademark clearinghouse, understanding the clearinghouse guidelines, and we had in Durban, I believe, we were at a ratio of 70-60% of the trademark records that are going to incorrect. It's now clear that a lot of things have been cleared up. A lot of agents are working very well in providing correct information, trademark holders as well. They are reading the manual that are provided on the website, so that's helping them a lot and helping us a lot as well. So we're at 92% of the trademark records pass verification. And 9 of the 10 are actually submitted by a trademark agent. So we have almost 1,200 trademark holders that went directly to the clearinghouse, and still 9 out of the 10 are submitted by trademark agents. We currently have more than 165 official trademark agents, and with this slide we wanted to give you an overview as to where our trademark agents are primarily located. You clearly here see that the biggest chunk is indeed US, followed by Germany, France, and Great Britain. The other countries, we have agents from different countries that are not on this list, but they are indeed at this moment not the big part of our agents. But we're working that as well. We are very actively talking to law firms, talking to registrars from all different regions to make sure that the trademark clearinghouse is a very well global established clearinghouse. And then also as of October this year, we are providing now the abused label services. So somebody who has a verified trademark and has already has a UDRP case that was submitted in the past, they can now submit that to the clearinghouse and they can receive trademark claims notifications on the abused labels that are mentioned in the UDRP case or the court cases. We currently have 90 abused labels in the trademark clearinghouse that are coming from 76 UDRP cases and 2 court cases.
We're almost there. A couple more messages. As Vicky already mentioned, we're really trying to help registrars and registries and spreading the gospel and making sure that the world knows about the new GTLD program and obviously more specifically about the trademark clearinghouse and the advantages that that can give to rights owners. We're working at this moment mainly a lot with our agents. We're helping them to create global awareness to make sure that the market out there is aware of what the clearinghouse can mean to them, how it all works, to make them aware of the changes that are coming, but also to make them, for instance, aware of the launches of the different TLDs. We're doing that, as I mentioned, through our agents. We're doing that also as localized as we can. So we have now multilingual and personalized marketing material. Multilingual meaning we have this in quite a number of languages. We have that little movie that a lot of you might have seen already in a number of languages. We have brochures and marketing material in different languages. We've also, for some of the agents, made that material quite personalized so that, for instance, they can put their logo on there or have their logo at the end of the little movie. We've also been working a lot in participating in a number of events and organizing a number of roadshows. Until, let's say, a couple of weeks, they were a lot focused on the developed markets, but we're now ramping up fast in the emerging markets. We had a roadshow in China. A lot of very enthusiastic people will be in Japan next week. We're going to be at INTA in Dubai in December for the regional INTA meeting, and there are definitely a lot more activities planned. Feel free also to come with proposals. We're more than willing to look into any proposal you might have, provide potentially guest speakers, become co-sponsor to the extent possible. Is this the line? Voila. We're also working since the beginning with a PR and marketing agency. I can tell you that since March, April, we hit over 100 newspapers in which we had focused articles on the new GTLD program and on the trademark clearinghouse. A lot of those articles do not always come by themselves. Very often those are done through actively, proactively contacting specific journalists to make them aware of what's coming in the market. And also there, we're more than willing to send out press releases where we can have a combined message. As I mentioned before, but more specifically on our website, you can find specific information about all of the activities that are happening and on all of the launches of the new GTLDs. You see the URL there provided, and that will then redirect you to that website with all of that information. I really suggest that you would try to go to it and see what's all available, because there is already quite some info available.
Yeah. And also for the registries that would want to have their promote their TLD to the users of the TMCH, we do invite you to reach out to us. We are willing to provide webinars where you can get the message to the agents, to the holders, so that people are aware. We have currently, as I said, 1,200 holders, 165 agents. So there's already a lot of messaging that you can provide to those that are already in the clearinghouse, so they are aware of what's going on. That they start to understand that the new GTLD program is actually on its wheels, because a lot of clients were waiting, and now all of a sudden it's happening, and it might be happening too quickly for them now. So we do want to reach out to you to let us know if we can help with the webinars or any information, newsletters that you can provide us, so that we can get the message out to the holders and agents as well. And I also want to add, in the beginning we originally said that it took up to 34 days to verify a trademark record. We have brought that down now to 7 days, so all of the trademarks today are processed around 7 days. So we are working our best to making sure that everybody has an equal right to participate in all these sunrises as well.
I think that were our slides and the messages that we want to bring. I think that still leaves us open for some questions, if you might have them. So please go ahead. Yeah, think the most practical. I don't see anyone walking around with a microphone, so I think you have to come up here.
Hello, hi. My name is Gonzalo López Peña. I'm from National University of Cordoba, law student. This is my first time I come to ICANN, and I actually do have a question regarding clearinghouse. Sorry. I'm going to skip the sunrise period and go straight where this working normally later. If I do have a trademark in Argentina, let's suppose, and I did register with clearinghouse, okay? Let's suppose that my trademark is Gonzalo.shoes, let's suppose. In the future, somebody from Chile does register the trademark Gonzalo in Chile, and he asked in a registrar for the extension Gonzalo.boots. My question is the following. After he's registered, I think that not during the procedure, but once he got his registration with a new DTLD, I will get notified, right? And if there's any dispute, who will this second registration be open on the internet and working with the Gonzalo.boot domain name? Who will depend if there's any? If they, my question is, both sides will be working at the same time. Who will depend if we should suspend it or not on the agreement with the registrar? Will that depend on?
To be honest, I think, but I'm not 100% sure. But that would actually depend on the registry policy. Okay. So at that moment, you will receive a warning, a notification indeed. Should you, at that moment, if it's not a trademark in the clearinghouse, so the other party is not a trademark in the clearinghouse, and you would dispute that, then it would normally follow under the dispute resolution process under the registry agreement and the registry and the TLD. Should there be a dispute between two trademarks in the clearinghouse, that is a dispute that you can submit to us and that we will check to see if something was wrong or something is no longer valid, for example.
Perfect. And so to have my final point of view here, it could happen that during this dispute, whether we submit it to clearinghouse, to WIPO, to the court or whatever, if there's not a policy with the registry in concrete, they could both be working. And if that company, if that trademark in Chile decides to sell through the internet in Argentina, a user from Argentina can go and put Gonzalo in Google, and he'll have Gonzalo.shoes, Gonzalo.boots selling similar products, right? Okay, thank you.
Yeah, Wernerstahl from CORE. I have one technical question for the trademark claims and a couple of others, but this one is, what is the standard for acceptance by the registrant of the trademark claim? So basically, the trademark claim says, I want to go ahead. I've seen that there's a trademark claim. What kind of proof do we have to supply?
You mean when the registrant wants to go ahead after he got a claims notification?
What is the documentation of the proof
that he needs to submit back to the registrar? So the registrar has to provide a notice to the registrant,
yes,
which the registrant has to accept explicitly.
Yeah, does the registrant accept? Is it okay to click on a link? What is the standard that you require?
I think this is described in the guidebook. This is not something we as providers specify. I think what is needed is to click a checkbox and the button. And I suppose the proof is in the database of the registrar and registry. It's not coming up to us. We just receive a timestamp when this acknowledgement was done.
Okay, so you do receive the timestamp. So that's
yes.
One of the elements of proof is the timestamp of the acknowledgement.
Yes, the Lordan file for claims has a field that has a timestamp of acknowledgement.
Okay. Okay. There's two others. They're there for the sunrise, actually. One of them is the danger of having abusive trademark clearinghouse registrations. Now, it may depend on the standards you use for proof of use, but let's say the things that I have seen, you know, a website or something, is really fairly easy, you know, to provide as proof of use. And I know of abusive trademark registrations that are managed like that, also almost as portfolios. And so what standard do you apply to prevent that from being used?
First of all, you have the signed declaration. So each trademark holder has to sign the declaration that he is providing legit proof of use for the classes and goods and services as his trademark. Secondly, the print screens are indeed qualified in accordance to the proof of use as the applicant guidebook states. Print screens are accepted. But we do check to make sure that the websites are indeed active. We do searches on the website and all that. We check the phone numbers. We check the addresses on the website to make sure that it matches the trademark holder. And in the event that somebody would still argue with that, then they are always allowed to file a dispute and show us that it's not a valid proof of use, and then the trademark is revoked from the database.
That is the element I didn't understand. At which point would an affected party be able to complain? During the sunrise, when actually the main registration request is coming?
During sunrise, then the party could complain, or also during a domain name registration, where he would receive the notification with the trademark and all that information in the notification.
Okay. Now, last one is about the local value of a trademark right. Actually, there was one statement in the documentation of the Trademark Clearinghouse that I think many people misunderstood, including myself. It said that trademarks registered by local authorities would not be accepted, and the word "by" was actually, you know, the wrong preposition. It should have said registered with local authorities. Now, still, there are many cases of trademarks that have, in the context of city TLDs, clear value in a local context, and of course, it don't have any value anywhere else. An example like Metropole for a hotel, that's a typical case, and in the city there's only one Metropole. But of course, there's going to be another Metropole in another city. And so, how is that? How can that be handled?
So for local trademarks, so trademarks have to have national effect, yeah? So for trademarks that are registered, because I've seen here in different discussions that I've had, as soon as it's a country trademark, some people call it a local trademark. That is a trademark of national effect that is allowed in the Trademark Clearinghouse. As for other local rights, for the registries that would like to use the clearinghouse to also have the local rights participate in the TMCH so that these rights holders could actually benefit from the whole new GTLD program instead of local GTLDs or just one GTLD, we are open for that. We can adjust everything. That is not an issue from our side.
I didn't understand. Sorry, you have to be a little bit more clear about open to that. Let's say, if you have valid trademarks, and as far as the law is concerned, that there's a valid trademark recognized as locally, you know, that's the only organization in that sector, you know, like take a hotel, that would be allowed to use that name. Let's say Metropole, you know, in Moscow. People know mm-hmm. who that is. Now, there's a Metropole in Geneva, too. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not sure if Metropole in Moscow has a trademark, you know, nationwide. You know, I'm not sure how their trademark is actually handled. So what would they have to be able to do if they wanted to have their, to go to, met, to the, they have use, maybe?
So, you mean for unregistered trademarks?
I'm sorry?
You mean unregistered trademarks?
Unregistered?
Yeah, because if it's a registered trademark, okay. Then they're registered in those countries, and then they can show it. Yeah, if it's the question in relation to proof of use as to how they use the mark, mm-hmm. there are different items that you can show how you're using your mark.
Okay. Now, that would not stop maybe the Geneva Hotel Metropole of registering metropole.moscow.
Sorry.
I think that depends on the registry policy. I mean, I think what currently is allowed in the clearinghouse is a trademark that is registered under the national jurisdiction. If there is another, if Metropole is, or the other Metropole, the second Metropole is not registered like that, then at this moment, based on the RPM requirements, I think they will not get priority.
But it could qualify under a mark protected under statute or treaty, yeah?
That could also be,
because
yeah.
A lot of buildings, for example, have their own statute or treaty, their names of them qualified under circumstances under statute or treaty that could qualify under a mark. But those are specific cases, so it's not a direct solution to your question.
Yeah, maybe it burns down to the question of things necessarily going wrong, because I can imagine that with all the outreach that we do, we wouldn't have those cases, you know, reach all the people who should know, and that they should go on to actually pay for a rather expensive registration if they just need one domain registration, which is basically the last point. I mean, the entire existence, you know, of the trademark clearinghouse was based on the hypothesis there was no new rights to be created, first of all, and secondly, that it was supposed to be of help and not a burden to trademark holders. Now, this is a clear case when it's just a burden and no help whatsoever.
I don't think, in my view, we had examples where people were doubting whether or not there were certain rights that they could come in. I think the guidelines are very clear as to what can be accepted and what cannot be accepted. Perhaps for certain cases, people themselves are not very clear on whether or not it falls under the guidelines. They can always contact us and ask whether what type of documentation they would have to provide if it falls under, for instance, statute or treaty. I think for trademarks as such, it's quite clear and straightforward. For other cases, a court case, I think, is also straightforward. Statute or treaty might be more complex. If they are in doubt, let them contact us, let them describe it, and then before submitting, I'm more than willing to look into it and say, okay, if you would provide this or this, we think it can fall under the trademark clearinghouse. Any other rights are not defined, and yeah, we're operator, so it's the community that decided what's allowed and not allowed, in my view.
So to understand correctly, if it happened that somebody who does not have the local right has a trademark, a clearinghouse registration, is the only one to have apparent priority, but shouldn't have, because you know they not have no right there, and the affected party complaints, could they go and say, look, we want this trademark registration to be withdrawn or basically declared that it's not valid here? Or would it just have to accept that priority?
Werner, I sorry, this is Karen Lentz from ICANN. I think you've asked about several things, and I just want to maybe offer some clarification. So the clearinghouse was built to accept three types of marks, registered, court validated, and protected by statute or treaty. The guidebook also provides for this category called other marks, which is there with the expectation that there may be different types of rights that a registry on an individual basis might wish to protect or work with. And so the capability has always been there for a registry to individually work out that process with the clearinghouse according to criteria that they set, and that, you know, would be a process that would be designed to support that registry. It wouldn't be subject necessarily to all the same procedures that all of the other marks in the clearinghouse are. So I think the message that Jan and his team are conveying here is that, you know, they continue to be open to those options if it's a useful solution in the registry cases. It's hard to parse out here what exactly that might consist of and how it would work. But I think that's the key.
Well, it's worrisome because essentially we're telling people, we ICANN community, we're telling people, look, if you don't want your right to be violated, you must buy a product from ICANN, from a trademark clearinghouse. Other than that, your right may be violated. That is what we're saying to them.
I don't think I quite understood the comment. The Trademark Clearinghouse has been designed to be to support the rights protection mechanisms. Created to be, you know, to have additional flexibility to support the things that, that registries wish to do. Wendy?
This is Wendy on behalf of the remote participants. I have two comments and questions. Could the Trademark Clearinghouse include a summary of the Sunrise registration policies at the trademarkclearinghouse.com/sunrise site, please? For example, supported languages at startup and restrictions on jurisdiction for the trademark goods and services, etc.
We have actually asked the registries, we're contacting now the registries one by one to provide us a PowerPoint presentation or something like that with a checklist of what is the Sunrise eligibility requirements to be published on our website. So yes, we are working on that.
Thank you. And the second one is from Kathy Kleinman. Thank you so much for the important rollout that you are doing. Is it possible to clarify that a registrant registering a domain name that matches a trademark in the Trademark Clearinghouse is registering a word that is also a trademark in one or more classes, but that the registrant may be using the word in a completely different commercial or non-commercial context, thus the registrant is not, quote-unquote, registering a trademark, but registering a word or acronym? Is that possible to clarify?
So I'm not sure if I fully understand the question, but if the question is, can somebody just register a word with the clearinghouse without providing any registered trademark or proof of use, then the answer is no. I mean, you have to have a registered trademark or court-validated mark or marks protected under statute or treaty, and in order to actually register a Sunrise, you always need to provide, like, at least for the registered trademark, a sample of use and the declaration. So in principle, that is not possible what Kathy is stating.
I interpreted the question quite differently, and I think it's going about the claims notice. And the claims, and about the text of the claims notice. And that text is described in the applicant guidebook. And I think it has been subject to long discussions and so on, so I think for the moment it's quite fixed.
Joyce Ling from 007names.com. I have a question about this. The authority of this clearinghouse has over the trademark filing. I remember that last year there was a very famous case that Apple sued a company, individual, whoever, in China because that person has registered iPad in China for over years, and Apple didn't do that. And I don't recall exactly what the result of the dispute or whatever, but let's give this example. If this person in China registered iPad at that clearinghouse, and Apple doesn't even bother to put all their marks in with the clearinghouse, but Apple decided to go after them if they found out, then do they bring the case to you first, or go to WIPO or go to court? I'm pretty sure with the money they have, they can go to court. Let's say that if they get a court order that this person has no right, do they have a jurisdiction over with a court order that order this mark has to be removed from clearinghouse? Are you obligated to do that or not? I just want to find out all kind of authority. Because I do have, over the years, have customers from Europe and Netherlands, and they have filed trademarks locally with all kinds of trademarks when .biz.info was launching their GTLDs, and they registered all kinds of based on those trademarks. They passed the registry inspection and everything, so they were able to register names through me. But I think that the reason that they could do that because the real trademark holder didn't bother to register .tel or .info or whatever, and they didn't find out, so they could do that. But in the case, if this person, trademark holder finds out, you know, I'm pretty sure they can challenge that. And what kind of authority the clearinghouse has over this situation?
Well, first of all, of course, if we get a court decision of the fact that a trademark, the rights don't exist, then of course we're going to delete from the trademark clearinghouse. But it's important to note that you're submitting to the trademark clearinghouse because we verify the information provided. So nobody can just come to the clearinghouse and state that they actually have a right. They need to provide the trademark information, they need to provide declaration, they need a sample. We do checks on that information to make sure it's right. And with the checks that you're receiving, you receive an SMD file. If that person does have an eligible right to that mark, if, for example, even iPad, and he receives an SMD file from us, then he can register a domain name because he has an actual right. If that goes then in discussion between Apple, to take the example, then indeed, if that's a court item, then that's something else. But in principle, you just don't enter the clearinghouse and think I have a right. No, we verify those rights that you state that you have.
Well, I know that the application all has legitimate paperwork and verification through the local authority. That's not a question here. The question here is if the another holder doesn't even bother to register here with you, and they find out, then what is the process they have to go through first? And as a registrar, I would like to advise my customers, and in case that happens, then what's the first step they have to go? Do they go to you, or they go to WIPO, or they go to the court? And which would be very more effective in terms of...
My suggestion is that they would consider all of the other right protection mechanisms that exist already before even going to court. So, I mean, we're the proactive defense, so to speak. If both brands have the same name, wherever they're protected, but they're an official trademark, they have equal rights from a clearinghouse perspective. If they both go for a domain name, it will be the registry and the registry's policy that will decide who will get it. If then either party still thinks that the other is violating their rights, I think they can first apply through all of the other existing right protection mechanisms, URS, UDRP. And yeah, in the end, everybody can always still go to court, of course. So I think you have to look at it as a menu that exists with different steps. And we're one of those steps. Are we the ultimate step? No, I think there is a combination of steps that you can take. In the interest of time, we're going to only address the questions of the three people that are standing up, and then
I mean, the TMCH is a database. We are a verification provider. We have no authority as to what items can.
Taking three more questions then, because there is a session afterwards, I think, two more now.
Hi, this is Trung Tran from Newsar. I've asked these questions for the IBM guys already, but I want to address it to ask these to you guys. Two questions. First, as a registry backend provider, we've been certified a couple of times for some of our TLDs. Now we have a lot more. Can we get a waiver, or do we have to go through this over and over again?
So currently it's not yet approved to obtain a waiver. We're looking into that. So at this time it's still per GTLD that you would have to pass the test certificate. We hope pretty soon to be able to announce whether you can obtain a waiver if you actually passed the tests at least once.
So what time frame are you looking at?
I cannot say today. I hope pretty soon, for sure.
All right, so the second question is, it's a bit of a challenge trying to test this out with registrars in our OT&E environment, because we don't have a full end-to-end, you guys don't provide one. So, there's not enough labels. There's, some SMDs out there. There's X number of labels. And it's a bit tough. And got to go through the whole testing process, going through claims. And again, I've asked you guys this, but do you have a plan in place to provide something like this in OT&E to make everyone's life a little easier?
So at this time, I think it's still also under review, but so at this time it's not yet approved that we would, because I think the question is to combine the two testing environments. So at this time that's not yet possible. It's under review, and again, unfortunately, same as for the waiver, we hope pretty soon to come to a conclusion on that.
Okay, thanks.
Hello, Gonzalo again. One question. Oh, sorry. I have this in Spanish and it's messing me up. After the GTLDs are open to public, when does the trademark holder get notified of a new trademark registration being opened? After the second one gets the register or during the process?
After registration.
Now, based on that answer, do you think if I get notified after the registration, I think that the harm could be already being taken place. Won't you consider, probably, better to notify as soon as possible the first trademark holder registered in order for him to take the measures, legal, not legal, WIPO measures he considers the best? Would that be an option?
Well, we are just providing the service. We have implemented what the community had designed. So this is, in fact, something that you would have to take up with ICANN and the rest of the community and try to ask for a change.
Okay, very honest. Sorry, you were going to say something?
I was going to say, but it's mentioned in the applicant guidebook that it's after registration, so it might be quite hard because the applicant by guidebook states this.
Okay, I'm very surprised, but because I think that everybody would prefer to be notified as soon as possible. And then to do a final conclusion in my head, let me know if I haven't understood it correctly. Your job, your mission here is to notify. Would that be it, right?
Yeah.
To do a notification, but you don't do protection or mechanisms. No, you just notify as soon as I have a new trademark, I let you know. That's the main job, that's it, yeah. Right?
We trademark holders submitting the trademarks to the clearinghouse get priority in the Sunrise. So they are actually get a prioritization and registering their trademark or domain name before anybody else can. Secondly, we provide trademark claims notifications, but these notifications are two-folded. Yeah? So when a domain name applicant wants to apply for a domain name that matches a domain name in the trademark clearinghouse, then he has to acknowledge the fact that he's going to do that. Yeah? And then you receive a notification. So there's two main services, Sunrise services, get an SMD file, and notifications.
And that would be under the cost of $150 per year at least?
Yes.
Okay, final point here. I think as a user that I could, it would be possible to have the same trademark under many different extensions that mean exactly the same. I think I get very confused, but I know it's not your thing here. I understand. Thank you.
We're done. So any other questions? We're still at the booth. We're still around. So you can pose them directly. Thank you very much for your attention and time.